God, a round of applause indeed. It's such a joy to witness them, to journey with them in this obedience to Christ. And that's my prayer, that may the Lord continue to add to our numbers, that hopefully every other month that we will be baptizing 20 people. Because indeed, it only means that we're doing our job in evangelizing our community. And on Saturday, take note that we will have this hermeneutics class. Hermeneutics means how to correctly handle the Word of God. So if you're interested to know how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible, please register outside after the service. There's no fee. It's for free. The very reason why we are asking you to register is for the materials, so that we can produce enough material for Saturday. And this material is in partnership with a dear friend of mine, Pastor Eric Cortez. If you are familiar with him, he has this program in 702 DZS every Friday, along with Pastor Mark Sosmeña, every Friday, 10 p.m. up to 12 midnight. So if you have your time with you, just tune in to 702 DZS every Friday at 10 p.m. to 12 midnight. You will hear him there, because this material will be soon to be published. So gusto lang po natin na mauna muna ang GCF Nuvali bago lumabas yung book on how to correctly handle the Word of God. At least na ituro po namin muna sa inyo sa GCF Nuvali. So church, how's your fasting last week? Remember, that's what we discussed last Sunday, okay? About fasting, whether it's on food, social media, television, or Netflix, iFlix, all those flicks. How was it? Allow me to share to you my reflection on that, because I just like what I told you, that I am going to be on fast on social media, particularly Facebook. On the first day, it's quite hard. No, kasi masyadong sanay na tayo, di ba? When we go to our mobile phone, just one click away, di ba? Yung icon ng letter F, yan ang laging pinipindot natin. But after a couple of days, I adjusted, di ba? So one thing I learned is that I can live without Facebook. I can live without Facebook. And because instead of the time that I'm going to use in just browsing my newsfeed, my Facebook, even my friends, what are they currently doing right now, I shifted it from that will nourish my soul, which I spend more time in meditating the Word of God, prayer, and more so I finish a book that I need to finish next sem for my schooling in Master of Divinity. I already finished one book, so at least nakatapos na ako ng isa. Makakagawa na ako ng assignment in advance. All because I don't spend time in social media. And another thing, as a family, because even my kids went into fasting, they fasted from YouTube and even from their gadgets, you know, playing games. One thing that we learned, that it's good sometimes to unplug from all this noise of this world and then plug into God and plug into each other. Because we learned that when we don't have all these gadgets, then we had that chance as a parent to really talk to my children face to face. Kasi before, di ba, nasa isang sulok, may nakatungong ganyan, lalaro, yung isa nandito, as a gadget. Now we had the time to really gather together and spend time with each other. So that's the beauty. That's somehow the advantage that we gain when we fast. So how about you? How's your experience when we obey what the Word of God said about fasting? Now, today we will discuss about giving. This is the last sermon in this series, Come Home series, based on the minor prophets. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, this is quite fitting that this is the last prophet in the Old Testament, in the English Old Testament, because he said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change." I, the Lord, do not change. It pertains to His character. If you will look at your bulletins, look at your bulletin, it has a bookmark. Did you see the bookmark? And we praise the Lord for that, for the one who sponsored for this bookmark. You will see the prophets that we discussed from Hosea, now up to Malachi. And then at the back, you will see all the lessons that we learned, particularly of who God is. Now, let's see who God is. Let's just have a review. In Hosea, it says that God is love. Remember that God's love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on us. That's what we learn from the book of Hosea. Then from the book of Joel, His mercy never ends. Then in Amos, God's justice, He is just. His justice is always perfect. While in Obadiah, He is sovereign. He can bring down the haughty and He can lift up the humble. While in the book of Jonah, He forgives. Our God, He is a forgiving God. In Micah, He is our hope. In Nahum, God is good. The Lord is good. In Habakkuk, God is completely in control. In Zephaniah, He is near. He is a personal God. And then in Haggai, He is faithful. In Zechariah, He is a selfless God. Remember, He gave His all to us. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for us. Now in Malachi, He is the unchanging God because He Himself declared, "For I, the Lord, do not change." All this character, He will remain. It will remain. His love, His mercy, He is just. It will remain because He does not change. Now, based on who He is, because He does not change, here's the question for us. Does our life show that we honor Him? Based on who He is, He loves us so much, His mercy never ends on us. Does our life show that we honor Him? What do we do if we honor someone? Just think about this for a moment. For example, a very important person in your life will visit you at home. What are you going to do? Basically, we will ask our children, "Hey, it's time for us to clean up because someone will visit us and we will prepare food. Food that are not left over, definitely not left over, but we will spend probably, we will buy the best food that we can offer to this person, right? Just this week, my brother came along because he needs to visit from Michigan, along with his boss because they need to visit their company here in the Philippines. So when he was with me, when we were just roaming around in Makati and even here in Solenad, I brought him, of course, because he is important to me, I brought him to the best restaurant here in our area. Hindi naman pwede, diba, sa mga fast food ko lang pakainin yon. Because he is very important to me. Ba't naman doon ko papakainin yon? Because I honor him. Because I respect him as my brother. And I also remember when one Christmas, my in-laws asked me, "Erwin, we will spend Christmas with you, with your family." Naku, sabi ko, naku, sa bahay magki-Christmas ang in-laws. So, syempre, sabi ko sa asawa ko, since they are your parents, we need to prepare something that they really like. Hindi naman pwede yung basta kung ano na lang yung food. Because it's Christmas season, what do they like? You need to know what's there. Then, bibilin mo lahat yun, ihanda mo lahat sa kanila yun. Because we honor them. Or if sometimes, what if someone, very important person, VIP in your life, invited you to his party, to his birthday, or whatever occasion, are you just going to come there, you know, t-shirt, shorts, maong? I don't think so. Perhaps we will give our best. We'll look for our best suit, best dress, or even buy a new one. Because that person is very important to us. Now, what about honoring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What about honoring Him? This is what God actually was asking to His people during the time of Malachi. A son honors his father, a servant his master. And then Yahweh said, if I am your father, where is my honor? That's His question. It is not only His question to them, but it is also His question for us right now. Where is my honor? One of the issues that God raised in this book, in the book of Malachi, was in the issue of tithes and offering. So later we will understand what tithes and offering. So when it comes to our giving, do we truly honor God? Do we truly honor God? Remember, here's our lesson this afternoon, that giving is an act of worship. It is part of our worship because it should reflect that we honor Him. When it comes to our giving, giving is an act of worship. I believe that we will have no issue when it comes to giving if we truly understand that giving is part of our worship with Him. It It's part of our honoring Him as our King and as our Lord. If we understand this, then we'll have no problem about giving. The question that I like us to ponder this afternoon, to reflect on this afternoon, is this: does my giving truly reflect that I worship God? Does my giving truly reflect that I honor Him as my Lord and as my King? Again, if that is the question, that it's no longer the question of amount. It's no longer an amount issue, but it's a heart issue. Remember, giving is an act of worship. Now, before we dig in, before we dive in to Malachi chapter 3, let's first take a look at the whole context of the book of Malachi. Watch this video.
The book of the prophet Malachi. He lived about 100 years after the Israelites had returned from their Babylonian exile, and his message was directed to the people who had been living in Jerusalem for some time now. The temple had been rebuilt a while ago, and things were not going well. Just remember the stories from Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, when the Israelites first returned from exile, their hopes were high. They would return and rebuild their lives and the temple. All of the great promises of the prophets would come true. The Messiah would come and set up God's kingdom over a unified Israel and over the nations and bring justice and peace for all. But that's not what happened. The Israelites who repopulated the city proved to be just as unfaithful to God as their ancestors, resulting in poverty and injustice. And so in Malachi, we find out just how corrupt this new generation has become. The book's designed as a series of disputes, and most sections begin with God saying something, making a claim or an accusation, and then Israel will disagree or question God's statement. And then God will respond and offer the last word. This happens 6 times. In the first 3 disputes, God exposes Israel's corruption, and in the final 3 disputes, He confronts their corruption. And the overall impression you get from these arguments and disputes is that the exile fundamentally didn't change anything in the people. Israel's hearts are as hard as ever. The first dispute starts when God says that He still loves His covenant people despite their failures. And Israel rudely objects, saying, "How have you shown us any love?" And so God reminds them of how He graciously chose the family of Jacob, their ancestor, to become the carrier of God's covenant promises, instead of Esau, his brother, and the family that came from him, who eventually came to ruin. Remember the stories from Genesis and the book of Obadiah. And so right from this first dispute, Israel is exposed as suspicious, doubting God's love and faithfulness. The second dispute exposes a problem with Israel's second temple. God accuses the people of despising and defiling the temple. And the people fire back, "How have we despised you?" And so God responds by focusing on the people, how they're bringing shamefully lame offerings of these sick, blemished animals that show that they don't value or honor their God. But it's not just the people, it's the priests too who run the temple. They not only tolerate but participate in these corrupt forms of worship. From top to bottom, God's people have proven faithless. In the third dispute, God accuses the Israelite men of treachery against Him and their wives, which of course they deny. And God exposes the toxic combination of idolatry and divorce taking place. You have Israelite men marrying non-Israelite women and then adopting the worship of their wives' ancestral gods into their homes. Remember the story from Nehemiah chapter 13. And so Malachi connects this to a wave of men divorcing their wives for no good reason. And the people are all fine with this. And Malachi says, "No, it's a betrayal of your covenant with God." And so Malachi transitions into the second set of disputes that confront Israel's rebellion. So the fourth dispute begins with the Israelites accusing God of neglect, saying, "Where is the God of justice?" They see injustice and corruption abounding, and God seems to do nothing. So God responds by saying that He'll send a messenger who will prepare the people for God's personal return in the day of the Lord. He will come like fire to purify His people and to remove idolatry and sexual immorality and injustice so that only the faithful remnant is left to become His people. In the fifth dispute, God calls the people to turn back to Him, to which the people say, "How can we turn back?" And so God confronts their selfishness. He shows how they've stopped offering a tithe of their income to the temple. Now, that word tithe just means 1/10. It's the amount of their income and produce that the Israelites were to annually donate to support the temple and its priests. The practice is laid out in different parts of the Torah. Now, we know from Malachi and from the book of Nehemiah that the people were neglecting this responsibility, and so the temple was falling into disrepair. And so God confronts them. He says he wants to bless them with abundance, but only if they're going to be faithful. In the final dispute, the people accuse God and say that it's pointless to serve him. They observe wicked, prideful people succeeding in life, and God does nothing. And God's response, for the first time in the book, is not a speech, but rather a short story about the faithful remnant in Israel, people who fear the Lord, and they love to get together and talk about how to honor God and serve him. And so God orders that a scroll of remembrance be written for these people so that they can read the scroll and remember God's character and promises. Malachi, he's reflecting here on the divine gift of the scriptures, how they point us to the past to remember what God has done in order to inspire faithfulness and hope for the future. Which leads to the conclusion of the book. It picks up and develops the imagery of the fourth dispute about the coming day of the Lord, but it develops it further. God says that he's appointed a day of purifying judgment that will consume the wicked from among his people. But what the conclusion adds is the future of the faithful remnant, because for them, the day of the Lord is not a threat, it's a cause for joy. It'll be like the rays of the rising sun that bring healing and life and hope for the future. And so Malachi's disputes come to a close, but there's still a bit more to this book. The final three verses, they're not part of the disputes, and actually they function like a concluding appendix, bringing closure not just to Malachi, but to the whole collection of the Torah and the prophets. So first, the reader is called to remember the law, or the Torah, of my servant Moses. This recalls the story and the laws of the covenant that you find in the first five books of the Bible. But then we hear this summary of the books of the prophets. I will send the prophet Elijah before the day of the Lord, who will restore the hearts of God's people. So this conclusion, it summarizes the Torah and the prophets as a unified story that points to the future. Israel was redeemed by God, and then they betrayed him through their rebellion and hard hearts, breaking the laws of the Torah. But the scriptures anticipate a future day when God's going to send a new prophet, a Moses, a new Elijah, who will restore God's people and heal their hard hearts. Remember all of the promises from Deuteronomy and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And so this concluding appendix presents the scriptures as a divine gift to read and to ponder and to pray over. They tell the truth about the human condition, about our selfishness and our sin. But they also announce God's promise that one day he would send a messenger and then show up personally to confront evil, to restore his people and bring his healing justice. And it's that future hope that Malachi and the Torah and all of the prophets are about.
Let us pray. Father, once again, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we can open your Bible, we can open the scripture and read it together and study it together. Father, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to move mightily in our midst so that, Lord, we can understand what's really the issue behind Malachi. It's more than about the money, Lord God. It's more than about the giving of tithes and offering, but more so, Lord God, it's giving honor to you. So, Father, I pray, may it be clear on us and be able to apply this in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So, here in this sermon, we will pick up on chapter 3 on God's indictment regarding tithes and offering. Again, God is asking his people, not only during the time of Malachi and even today in our day and age, he is asking us, where is my honor? Where is my honor? Why does God deserve all the honor? Because of who he is. Remember, he said he is unchanging. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says there, "For I, the Lord, do not change." I, the Lord, do not change. In theology, we call this the immutability of God. Immutability means unchanging. One Bible dictionary stated it this way. In biblical theology, God is described as unchanging in his nature, meaning he will be God forever, not only when it comes to his nature, but also his character. This includes God's being, purposes, and promises. In the context of Malachi, this pertains to his character. In Malachi chapter 1, If you have your Bibles with you, please open it in Malachi chapter 1. In Malachi chapter 1 verse 2, Yahweh said, I have loved you. And it does not change. Even though his people, they are running away from the Lord, it does not change. Still, he's saying to them, I have loved you. And because God loves them, his love never changes. Look at what he said. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, meaning Israel, the people of God, you are not consumed. The word consumed, it means to completely, to come to an end. It means to be totally destroyed, to be wiped out. And definitely, his people, they deserve to be wiped out. They deserve to be destroyed. Why? Look at verse 7. Look at what Yahweh said. From the days of your fathers. And what he is trying to say here. From the days of your father until now. Until you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Remember, Malachi, this is what we call the post-exilic. They went to Babylon for exile. They returned to Babylon after 70 years. And after 100 years, Nehemiah already rebuilded the walls of Jerusalem. Haggai and Zechariah already rebuilded the temple of God. After 100 years again, here we go again. The people of God. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes. Look at how stubborn they were. And I do believe it is not only true to them, but it is also true in our time. We are no exempted. Yes, I understand that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ, but our life as a Christian, definitely it's not perfect. If we will look at a graph in our Christian life, there's up and down, up and down. So just like them, we also turn aside from the statutes of God. We have turned aside from his commandments. Last Tuesday, I had my four wheels of my car aligned. So both the front wheels and the rear wheels. And as you know, if it is the wheel alignment, when the mechanic started to put on their things there, it shows in their computer that four wheels are really misaligned. So what happened? That's the reason. That's why I have, because sabi ko do sa mechanic, oh, I see. Now I know what I am hearing. Because I am continuously hearing something, especially at the rear. You know, sometimes I felt that it seems that I have a flat tire. But when I look at my tires, it's not flat. But it seems as if I'm hearing I have a flat tire. You know, because what happened? Because it is not aligned. There's an uneven when it comes to its baldness. Siyempre, hindi ngayon pantay. Yung isang side lang yung nakakalbo sa kanya. Hindi na buo. Uneven. So, definitely the result of having misaligned wheels, my tires really got beaten up. So, it's not good for the tires if we are running on a misaligned wheel. So, one lesson for those of you who have cars, be sure that all your wheels are aligned. The same is true in our life. When we do not keep his commandment, we are somehow misaligned in his will. We are not aligned in his will. And if we are not aligned in his will, then definitely we will have an uneven walk with the Lord. We cannot run smoothly in what we call the journey in the faith. So instead of us honoring God, if we are not aligned with God, then the result is we dishonor him in our lives. But the good news, my dear brothers and sisters, Yahweh said, for I, the Lord, do not change. His love never changes. Look at what he said to his people. Return to me, and I will return to you. This is the main message in this series. That's why we entitled it, Come Home. That even though his people running away from the Lord, he is still calling them. Return to me. Come home. My child, come home, my child. He is still calling them. Even in our context, God has shown his love, that he truly loves us, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He already showed his love to us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John, it says, we love because he first loved us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but will have eternal life. So he has showed to us his love. Now, there are times that we still dishonor him. Just like what I said a while ago, our life is not perfect. Today, we will see in one of the areas in our life wherein somehow we falter when it comes of giving honor to him is in the area of giving. Look at what God said about his people. Return to me. How? He said, how shall we return? The people said, how shall we return to you? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, Yahweh said. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. Contributions there, it also means offering. Okay, let's first study the word contributions or offering. Perhaps you have heard this teaching that offering is on top of your tithes. After you give 10%, that's offering. Okay. Now let me just, I don't want you to be uninformed with regards to this. Offering is not just a surplus of your tithes in this context, in Malachi. Because offering is very, very important during their time. This is what we call the sin offering, peace offering, grain offering. Meaning it is the way for them to be forgiven. Remember, it's Old Testament. They need to sacrifice, they need to give offering, a blameless animal for them to be forgiven by the Lord. That is why sacrifices and offering, in one Bible dictionary, says to make atonement. But the good news for us is that we don't need to do that. Why? Because it is done. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, look at what the Bible says. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice, that is his death and resurrection, a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, meaning it is finished. Because during their time, the Old Testament, it's an everyday thing. The priest, they will offer every day. Once a year, the high priest will go to the Holy of Holies. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, he just made one sacrifice. And then the picture there, he sat down at the right hand of God, meaning it is finished. So offering is not just a surplus of the tithes, because it's very important. And this is the one issue that God raised in Malachi. Look at again Malachi chapter 1, because right on the very onset, the issue is about honoring God. Look at Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised when you offer blind animals in sacrifice. Is that not evil? Remember, the law says it should be blameless. And look at what they're doing. They are offering blind animals. And not only that, when you offer those that are lame or sick, God said, is that not evil? It is like as if in Pampanga, what's happening in Pampanga, there's a bird flu. Oh, let's just offer it to God. Sayang din yan, pwede na yan. Parang ganun yun eh. And look at what God said. Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you a favor with that? The Bible says, can we present that kind of offering even to a very important person in our life? In other words, a double dead meat? Are we going to present that? That's what Yahweh said. Present that to your governor. Will he accept that? And yet, that is what they are doing. That is why God is asking them, and he is also asking us today, where is my honor? Where is my honor? Offering. Now, here, tithing. Okay? Tithes. What's tithes? Tithe literally means a tenth. Okay? Now, during their time, in Leviticus chapter 27, they will tithe the produce of the land and even their herd. So it's all about food. We are talking about food, Leviticus chapter 27. And I don't want you also to be uninformed regarding this, because the Old Testament tithing, there are three kinds of tithes. Okay? Perhaps you just know tithes, 10%. Okay? But let's somehow study tithing in the context of Malachi and the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there is this thing called Levitical tithe. Every year they will give their tithes to the Levites. You will be able to read that in Numbers chapter 18, verses 21 to 24. We don't have enough time to discuss that. Okay, just read that in Numbers chapter 18. So every year they will give a Levitical tithe. The 11 tribes will give to the Levites. That is for their food. Okay, and also every year they will give for festival tithe. You will be able to read that in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 to 27. So every year, Levitical tithe and festival tithe. Okay, so that's 10%. If we're thinking about percentage, 10% plus another 10% for the festival tithe. How much? So then a total of 20%. That's every year. So first year, second year. But the law said on the third year, on top of the Levitical tithe, festival tithe, you will give welfare tithe. Another 10%, that is for the poor. Para lahat ngayon, walang nagugutom sa Israel, in the economy of Israel. It's much more like a taxation in our day and age. So, first year, 20%. Second year, 20%. Now, on the third year, they will add another 10. So, that's already 30%. That is why many Bible scholars, they just add the 10, they just distributed it on the three year, so they will put 3.3, 3.3, 3.3. So the total is 23.3 or 23%. That is why if one person sometimes approached me, I'm jokingly said to them, when they say, oh, pastor, I'm a tither, so how much do you tithe? 10%. I don't think you're a tither. Because when you're saying about Old Testament, they're talking about three kinds of tithes. And the total of that is 23.3%. Now, that's the Old Testament tithing. And we no longer do that. Why? Because there's no more temple. AD 70, it was destroyed. Look at your history. It was destroyed AD 70 by Titus. Okay, so there was no more temple. And besides, Paul never commanded a Gentile church, just like us, to tithe. Okay, but rather, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, he is asking them to become generous when it comes to their giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And also he mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he said, do this every week. Collect every week. That's why we have that principle here in GCF Nuba. That's why we have giving every week. Now, in the context of Malachi, so pastor, what are we now going to do? I get the principle in tithing, because in the New Testament it's called giving. So now when I say tithe, we are now talking about giving, generous giving. Later we will see in 2 Corinthians. Okay, so here's the general principle. Because when we look at the book of Proverbs, it's a general principle. It's no longer about the Old Testament and the New Testament. Here's the principle about our wealth. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Again, God is asking the people, he's asking, where is my honor? And the Bible says one area that we can honor him is through our wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord when it comes to our money or our possession. I remember a story about a baptism, since we had this baptism yesterday, when the pastor asked, his name is Charles. Okay? Charles, are you going to be baptized now? Yes, pastor, I'm willing to be baptized. Do you understand that I am going to immerse you in water? Yes, pastor. And the very reason why I'm going to immerse you, it means that you are now giving your life, your everything to him. Yes, pastor, I give my everything to God. That is what Charles said. Okay, okay, I'm now going to baptize you. So both of them went into the water. Okay, and just as soon as the pastor immersed him, he lifted up his hand holding his wallet. It doesn't mean he does not like it. Definitely, it doesn't mean that he does not like his wallet to get wet. But rather, Lord, I'm willing to give you everything, but not my wallet. Kasi sabi kasi nung pastor, once you get, you are giving everything to the Lord. The Bible says we should honor Him with our wealth. Remember, again, giving is an act of worship. What we are doing today is part of worship. We just get the principle of tithe because tithe literally means a tenth. Because if you are going to ask me, if you don't know how to start, Pastor, where am I going to start? If I am going to give to the Lord, where am I going to start? And because our mind somehow is wired with percentage, it's a good thing. If you can start with 10%, so be it. If you know that you can honor the Lord with that percentage, then do it with a 10%. Let me tell you a story about William Colgate. I think one way or the other, we are familiar with the surname Colgate. Yes? What toothpaste are you using, right? So at least you know who William Colgate is. By the age of 19, he started his business. He is into a soap making business. But unfortunately for him, at 19 of age, his business failed. But he was determined to really do his laundry business. And a Christian friend advised him. And this is his advice. Start right and you will go well. Be a good man. Give your heart to Christ. Give God all that belongs to Him. Make an honest soap. And definitely God will bless you. So be honest with your dealing with people, with your soap. And then God will bless you. So William decided to honor God and give Him the first place in all his endeavors in life. He also decided to give one-tenth of his income to the Lord. Okay. So what happened next? We all know history. We have his product, toothpaste. That's why when you go to a sari-sari store and you will buy a toothpaste, you're going to say, pabili nga po ng Colgate. Pero yung kabilang brand pala yung gusto mo, di ba? Ang tawag nga sa toothpaste, Colgate. Hanggang ngayon, meron tayo niyan. And you know what happened to him? As his empire, as his business grew, from 10%, okay? Gradually, he also increased the percentage. 20%, 30%, 40%. You will read this in his biography until he gave 90% to the Lord and he just retained 10%. Because for him, 10% is enough. Because he has this big empire. If he is making millions, billions of money, of course, 10% of that is really enough for him. Because look at what the Bible says when it comes to gracious giving. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And look at this. God is able to make all grace abound to you, meaning he will bless you. Why? It has a purpose. So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Meaning, if the Lord blesses you, the very reason for that is that so that we can become a channel of His blessing. It is not for us to hoard His blessing, but rather we should become a channel of His blessing. Now, you might say, okay, Pastor, that's William Colgate. Well, perhaps some of you, the Lord has already blessed you with your business, but what about we are on the other end? Because that's William Colgate. That's easy for him to give. Now, what about we are on the other side? Okay, look at this. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 7. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 7. And I will be reading this in the New Living Translation. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. The churches in Macedonia, it's Philippi, Thessalonica. That's why we have Thessalonians, Philippians. Okay? They are being tested by many troubles. So what's happening in them? During their time, they are being tested by many troubles. And look at the description given by the Apostle Paul. And they are what? They are poor. Is that what the Apostle Paul said? Is that simply the sentence? They are poor. I don't think so. He said, they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. What a contrast, poor, and then here comes the rich, the word rich. They are very poor materially, but their heart, they are rich when it comes to generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege. For them, it's a privilege. Every time they give, it's a privilege. The privilege of sharing the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. That's for the Jerusalem church. They even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and then to us, because they understood that giving is an act of worship. It's part of honoring God. That's why it says there, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and then to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. Church, it is not the issue of money or the issue of amount. It is a heart issue. I know that when we talk about money, this is a very sensitive issue. That's why a resident pastor, if the giving is topic, he will invite someone, okay, to preach about giving. But when I'm meditating on this, since we are in a series, here comes Malachi, why am I going to invite? I need to really educate GCF Nuvali about this, because the Bible talks about money. The Bible talks about giving. And you know what? The very reason why God is teaching us to give, as I am meditating on this, He wants us to teach not to be greedy. Not to be greedy. Why do you think it's hard for us to give? Why do you think it's really hard for us to give? You know why? Because we are not content with what we have. We tend to always look at what we don't have rather than looking at what we already have. We tend to always, Lord, bakit siya meron nun? Ako, wala ako nun. Pero meron ka namang ibang bagay na wala din naman siya. Tama? That's why kapag wala ka nun, meron siya, gusto mo rin nun. So instead of you giving to the Lord, yun na lang, biling ko yun para sa akin. I'd rather want to receive rather than to give. I think that's the issue. Greediness. So again, it's not about the amount. It's about the heart. So either you will be generous or you will be greedy. The choice is yours. When we give every Sunday, I don't know, or twice in a month, do we really give God what's right, or we just give Him what's left? Adrian Rogers said, give God what's right and not what's left. Again, if someone will visit you in your place, very important person, are you going to give him or her a leftover? I don't think so. But why are we doing it when it comes to God? Again, his question, where is my honor? Where is my honor? Yes, I understand that God owns everything. He owns everything. There's no question about it. He owns what we have right now. But He is teaching us to develop a heart that is always, always willing to share. Because Jesus Christ Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. So why not, instead of putting God on our budget list, instead of putting Him on the last, Lord, pag may sobra, sige, sayo na. So why not put Him first? Remember, He is asking us, where is my honor? Where is my honor? Sometimes when the Lord is blessing us, what comes to our mind are the things that we want to buy for ourselves. Here's a very good principle coming from Mark Batterson. He said, when God blesses you financially, don't raise the standard of your living, but rather raise the standard of your giving. Why? Because God is teaching us not to be greedy, but rather He is teaching us to be generous, because giving is an act of worship. It is an act of honoring God with our wealth. So before you give, it is good that we reflect on this. Does my giving today truly honors God? Does my giving really reflect that I worship Him, that I honor Him? If you can honestly say yes, then God bless your heart. God bless your heart. So may GCF New Valley become generous people, that God will continue to bless us in order for us to become a channel of His blessing on others. Because if we will do this, if we will have a heart, a generous heart, look at the promise of God. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says here, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." The principle here is that God blesses the obedient and He disciplines the disobedient. And also, God is the one who determines the blessing. It is not us who will dictate to God, "Lord, I gave you 1,000 today, please give it back tomorrow 2,000. No. Indeed, God definitely will bless us, but it is He who determines the blessing, when and what kind of blessing. But the truth is, God blesses the obedient, because in the New Testament, here's again His promise. Look at His promise. "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you." Meaning He can really bless you. Why? "So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." In other words, God will bless us in order for us to become a channel of His blessing to others. But the truth is, if you sow bountifully, you will also reap bountifully. And again, it is the Lord who will determine the blessing. So remember this, every time you give, it is an act of worship. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this great reminder to us.